So I would like to introduce our first speaker. It is Maria B. from the Plan B group of NA in the Butler area.
Don't worry, I caught the papers. Hi, my name is Maria. I'm an addict. So I'm a little nervous. This is the first time I've ever spoken at a retreat and the first time I've ever spoken on a specific topic. But when I was actually asked to speak on, when I was asked to speak altogether, I didn't know the topic and I was completely nervous. And of course, you know, my addict mentality, I tried to figure out how I could get out of it. So I was like, oh, you know what, buddy, I gotta ask my sponsor, I'll let you know. And then I called her, and of course her response was, fuck yes, you are doing this. So I figured she wasn't gonna co-sign, but I asked anyway. And then I found out that the topic was gonna be step three and faith. And I actually got pretty excited about it, because like, I consider myself sometimes, most of the time, to be a pretty spiritual person. Or at least I try to be nowadays. But I don't know. I was trying to like think about not thinking about what to say, you know, and like push it out of my mind. But at the same point in time, I was trying to like almost think back to when I first started to like work the first three steps and like where I was at in that moment in my recovery. And I remember thinking, like, because I became a Christian, I was born, you know, in a Puerto Rican family, very Catholic, and it wasn't my thing. But I became like a Christian on my own terms when I was like 15. So I was like, okay, well, this is going to be easy, right? Like, believing that there's something that can restore me to sanity because I'm a Christian, that's cool, and then turning it over. I mean, like, I thought this was going to be easy work. And then I started reading about it in the Step Working Guide and realizing that there was a lot more to it than I had anticipated. And I think one of the things that stuck out to me the most, like, actually writing the step and trying to work it, is the fact that the whole, like, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over. So, like, I already decided that once I worked the first two steps, maybe, just maybe, I might be able to, like, get this recovery thing. Because I really didn't think that, I mean, I knew that you guys could do it, but I really didn't think that I could do it. Because my alternative was, like, you know, get clean, get CYS off my back, get the kids home, use successfully. You know, that was my plan. So when I started working these steps, I was like, okay, well, I guess, like, making the decision isn't that hard because I know that my life's kind of shitty, like, where it's at. I didn't have my kids at home. CYS had come in, and they took the kids from school, four daughters, and they said, you know, you guys got to figure this out. You have 6 months. And I was like, okay. So thinking back to, like, where I was, deciding to, like, try to give everything up the way I was doing it wasn't the hard part. But it was the whole, which I found out later, trying to work the step, the relinquishing of the control. Because one of my character defects that I found out later, that's like one of my strongest ones, is control. And I find security in being on top of every situation at all time. I consider myself to be a planner. So if something's going to happen, I know when it happens. I know what time I'm going to get there. I know what it's going to look like. You know what I mean? Like, I have everything down to the wire. Like, even camping with my family, I have a checklist that I write every time and a specific, like, dumbed down list for my husband for what he needs to do. And I have everything mapped out because, I don't know, for me, I just have security in knowing that I'm on top of it all. But then sitting here and, like, actually trying to turn it over to God or whatever your higher power's will is over mine, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's easy, you know. But I found out, like, it's not easy. And actually, when I was asked to speak about this, I was in, like, a really rough little patch. Like, I had, like, 2 months of, I had a car accident. I was T-bound. And dual diagnosis, I'm bipolar and I'm an addict. So, like, that's fun. And so, like, when I got into that car accident, it, like, threw me off, like, mentally. And I'm a nurse, so I solve my own problems and diagnose myself all the time. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just in this state of mind because, you know, my body just suffered some trauma, and so it just threw off my hormones, and everything will be fine. And really, like, that wasn't what it was. And I didn't really understand what it was until I got to the point, it was probably like a week after I was asked to speak about this, when I really started looking back at why the last 2 months were, like, super crazy. And I didn't realize that, like, things were going really good before that car accident. And then, like, once that happened, I was off work for 5 weeks. Now I'm spending more time with the family that I adore part-time, but when you're with them full-time, you know. So, like, all this stuff changed, so I started to try to take control again. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm at home, and I'm supposed to be resting, so when no one's around, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, because my, like, self-worth is in making sure that I'm doing for everybody else as much as I possibly can, period. And for me, I can co-sign myself and be like, well, this is God's will for my life, right? To be the best mom, to be the best wife, to be the best nurse, to be the best friend, to be the best sponsor. And my life got, like, super unmanageable. So then whenever I was asked to speak about this, and I started, like, thinking, like, oh my gosh, I'm in, like, this miserable spot, and now I'm supposed to be talking about something so spiritual and, like, the one step that really changed it all. And it made me look at it and realize, like, wow. Like, I literally, like, sat down and, like, prayed. And I'm like, I did not even realize what I was doing. I didn't realize that I was, like, taking everything over, because I do it so subtly all the time that I don't know that I'm taking my will back until everything goes to shit. And then I'm like, well, why is everything going to shit? I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, but not really. And the whole, like, the way I try to figure out my higher power's will for me is, like, my higher power, who I call God, is, like, loving and caring and compassionate. And I try to think, like, of how I am with my children. So, like, specifically, I'll talk about my oldest, who's almost 18. And God love her. She's just like me when I was that age. So, needless to say, she gets me unspiritual a lot. But I love her unconditionally. Like, she's done a lot of shit. I mean, we've done psych wards, and we've done partial programs, and we've done mental health counselors, family based in the home. She's the one who got COS to come to school that day because I took her cell phone, and she went to school and told her counselor I was selling drugs, and then they showed up. And that's how the kids got torn out of the house, you know? Like, so, like, I've had a lot of stuff with her, and, like, no matter what she's done, I love her unconditionally. And, like, my love doesn't change for her. It doesn't get less because she pisses me off. Like, she might make me angry and even a little resentful for a while, but I don't love her any less. So I just try to remember that, like, my higher power loves me even more than that. So then, if my higher power loves me that much, then the will that he has for my life is probably way better than the one that I might have for my own. So I try to figure out, like, well, how do I know? Because, like, that's, like, the hardest question is, like, how do I know if it's God's will or if it's my will? Because, I, like I said, I can convince myself about anything. So the one thing I try to do, because I'm a person of feeling. So I try to just think to myself, like, do I have a good feeling about this? Because I know, just like everybody knows, that when you're about to do something or say something or act out in a negative way, you get kind of like this little like tightness in your chest and this like lump in your throat, and you get a question in your mind, even if it's just for a second. And so like I try to like stay aware of that as much as possible. And I identify like, okay, well, if it's my God's will, then I should have no negative feelings tied to it. There should be like completely pure intention. Like it shouldn't be like, I'm going to do this for my kids so they think I'm the best mom ever. It should be like, I want to do this for my kids because I love them. And then I know that that's like God's will for me. Now, it gets really hard in the real world though, right? It's like, it's a lot easier to talk about like God's will versus my will in a meeting. And then I go to work. I'm a nurse at a juvenile detention center with court-ordered adolescent boys from 12 to 20. So what's my will when this little punk is standing at the med cart, you know, trying to cheek his meds, which could cost me my job, you know, and then giving me attitude because I'm like, bro, I gotta check your mouth, you know, like, where's the will at there? Because my will says I want to curse him out and be like, what are you doing? Get your fucking life together. But I know that God's will is like being loving and compassionate. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, I know what the will is, but it's that whole struggle, the back and forth, like, well, today I'm going to take my will, and then tomorrow I'll probably do it again because it worked out okay yesterday. And then all of a sudden, like I said, subtly I'm taking it all back and everything goes to shit. And then I'm like back on my knees, like, please take it all over again. So I just try to remember that I have to start each day over. Every day is a new day. And like half of my days I get a little unspiritual at work. But I've learned to actually like say to them, which they think is funny, like they laugh about it, but I'll be like, seriously, like you're getting me unspiritual right now. Like, just don't do that to me or to yourself. And they laugh about it, but it does change the mood because they're laughing. But at the same point in time, like I'm expressing and identifying to myself that like I might do something that'll be my will. You know what I mean? Like I could assault a kid and lose my license, you know? Like, and then sometimes I think about like, how did I even get here? Like, how is like, if I have this higher power and he has this great will for my life, like how did I even get to the point where I'm an addict and I'm suffering from mental health and I work with bad kids and I have to do recovery all the time? And like, I don't know. And like, I've thought about it like deeply before because I can question myself all the time. I can find reasons to try and turn my back from my higher power so that way I can do what I want to do and not feel so guilty about it. So I think about that all the time, like, well, you know, my life's kind of been like roller coasters up and down. So like, I just don't understand like how that would be like my higher power's will for my life. And then I like really thought about it. Like literally I had an epiphany probably about a month ago. And it was actually after I had heard a lead and this girl was talking and she was like saying all this terrible stuff that like happened to her and like the feelings that she felt that were attached to it. And I like completely related to it. And then I ended up chatting because it's always like the meeting before or after the meeting that usually helps me the most. So I ended up like chatting after and was speaking to a couple of girls, and this one girl was talking about like the shit that she had been through or she was going through and all this stuff. And I was able to tell her like, whoa, you know what? I went through the same thing, and I could identify my story with her story. And then for her to be like, wow, you don't even know how much you've helped me. And that's when it like hit me, right? Like, I don't think my higher power ever wanted all of these roller coaster, traumatic, up and down experiences to happen to me, but I think his will was to give me the strength to get through it. And then not only that, but like, how did I end up here? Because this is definitely like God's will for my life, right? Because before becoming a drug addict, I was already a nurse. I was closed-minded to somebody being a drug addict. I thought it was a choice. You know, that people are just choosing drugs over everybody else and their families and because they just wanted to. And I was really naive to everything. And so, like, what kind of compassionate person or nurse could I be? Like, not even, like, being judgmental, not even, like, understanding, like, where people are at. So, like, I thought about it, and it's like, I honestly believe, and I'm grateful, that, you know, I went on the path to becoming this drug addict at the age of 32 years old, because now I am a completely different person. Like, I can identify with other people. I'm compassionate. I'm understanding. I sometimes feel more warm-hearted than the people I sit next to at church, you know, because I know some of them judge, and I don't ever anymore. Because I won't cast that first stone, because I've probably been there, done that 3 times over, or will sometime in the future. But I, like, thought about it, and I realized that, like, all of these traumatic events that, like, God's will for me helped me get through, all these negative things are everything that brings all of us together. Like, that is how we connect with one another. And I did not even realize it until like a month ago. And it's like, if I would have never had the trauma of an abusive relationship or a bad childhood or, you know, bad relationships, codependency, gambling, whatever my addiction was in that point in my life, if I would have never gone through any of those experiences, I wouldn't be able to have all of these well-rounded experiences to be able to connect to everyone around that circle. So it's like, I don't know, it just blew my mind, like, thinking about that. And it made me realize then that, like, even in these, like, down in the dumps, like, few months that I was, like, going through it, it may not have been God's will for me to have somebody T-bone and total my car and, like, a fracture in my leg and, like, off work and miserable and, like, mental health just down and out. But it was my higher power as well to be able to get through that and get through it clean and reach out to other people. And like, that forced me to tell on myself all of the time, because pride always stands in the way with me being in control, right? It's like, well, I have 19 months clean, so I can't go and sit at a meeting with my sponsees and share that I want to use, because then it'll look bad. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to want to turn to me for help if they think I'm in a shitty place. And then I realized that, like, God's will is for me to be honest. Because when I'm not sharing about something that I need to share about, I get that negative, heavy, knotted feeling in my chest. You know what I mean? Like, I know when I'm supposed to be telling on myself. So that's how I know, like, it's God's will for me to be honest. Even if it's not a good place, like, I still have to share about it. And I don't know, just like these experiences that I've had, I'd say even like the past like 6 months, a lot has happened, good and bad, but mainly good, because from all of these bad situations or low moods or like medication changes, like God, medication changes is a roll of the dice for me. And like through all of that, I was strong, I held on, I talked to other people, and every time I'm in this place, conveniently, I end up running into someone who's in that place or was there before. Or every time I have a question about where I should be directed in my life right now, I go to a meeting and I hear somebody bring it up as a topic. And then I go to another meeting and there's a speaker and then they're talking about it. And then I go to another and I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, like, and that happens to me all the time. And that's when it like reminds me that like, this is God's will. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now in this moment. You know, whenever I'm like doubting myself about something. Like, for example, I was doubting myself for a while because I'm working through my steps and I'm getting to that point where I'm like having to apologize for the things that I've done wrong, right? And that's really hard for me because, like I said, with control, I also have pride and perfectionism. So, like, I do no wrong. And I'm, like, now having to try and figure out, like, how I'm going to say sorry for, like, things that I've done wrong. And I'm not allowed to look at anybody else's stuff. So, like, I was just trying to, like, figure out, like, how I do that. Because I don't know. Like, this is why I have this program. Because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing, ever. And then I go to my home group, and they had some kid brought this speaker from out of town. I think he was from, like, Mercer County or something. Like, some guy I've never seen before in my life. And out of his entire lead, for some reason, what stood out to me is, it's better to be understanding than understood. I don't know why, and I didn't even know what it meant, to be honest, because at that point I hadn't even read into the eighth step or anything like that. But it stuck out to me. And then what happens is, like, the next day I go to the Tri-County spiritual retreat, and I'm out there for the day, and the first speaker that I happen to be there for and go and listen to is this girl who has this horrible past, like traumatic experiences, one after the other after the other, and she says it's better to be understanding than understood. And I was like, okay. Like, those are the moments when I'm like, okay, this is God's will. Like, I get it. Like, it's almost like a neon sign, like, Maria, wake the hell up. I'm trying to tell you what to do. So I just try to, like, look for that and, like, keep myself open to that and just make sure that the feelings behind it are good. And as far as, like, the faith that's behind it, with the hope that I got in step two, which was minute, because, like I said, my plan was just to get CYS off my back and I was going to use again. But I got some hope, like, working that second step, that, like a little, like, mustard seed hope, that maybe, just maybe, I could stay clean. Like, I'm not guaranteeing tomorrow. Like, I can't even guarantee later today. But, like, maybe. Like, I'm not going to say possibly. I'm going to say maybe. So I got that little bit of hope. And then I realized, like, after working the third step and getting ready to go into my fourth step, that hope started to turn into faith. Because once I got to the point where I was able to identify that I can kind of, like, let things go, even if I don't like it, I don't like how things are going, and I can't control it, if I just try to let it go and be like, well, whatever God's will is, I'll just take my hands out, it started to develop this faith, right? Like, I have faith that even if bad shit happens, like, something good's going to come from it. Because the like I said, all of these negative things that have happened in my life, like, I never understood why. Like, why anything like that would ever have to happen to me. But now, at the end of the road, like, 35 years later, it's those experiences that have built me to the person that I am today, that have made me stronger, that I got through, and that now I can help some other woman get through, too. Because I can help you understand that, like, I was there too. You're not alone. I know exactly how you're feeling. That's the biggest thing about faith to me, like, is when I'm sitting there having a conversation with someone and they're sharing about, like, where they're at or how they're feeling, and I can identify literally exactly that feeling because I've also experienced that. Like, that's my faith that shows up. And it's like, that's when I know, like, you know, my higher power brought this situation to me right now. And, like, everything's going to be okay. Because I just keep reminding myself when all these little instances happen that this is exactly where I'm supposed to be and the exact moment that I'm supposed to be here. So, I don't know. I just know that, like, working that third step for me, I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it actually was. You know, because like, just because I had a little bit of spirituality or belief in a power greater than myself before working it, I didn't really understand it till I started having to write on it and like get really down and deep. And thinking about faith, right, the definition I think is like believing in something that you have no evidence of. So it's like not just having faith in like my higher power, but having faith in a program. Like NA, right? Like you have to have faith that you can do it too. Maybe. Like not even like for sure. But just maybe like if you try this program, then it might work for you. Like that in itself is just showing some faith. Which eventually I started to do. Because once I started to realize that like, I think around like 6 months I was starting to get sanity back. Like I was going like 3 whole days without thinking about using. And that's when I was like, oh my gosh, I'm being restored to sanity. Because I went like 72 hours and I didn't think about getting high one time. So like that happened. And then that like helped me have a little more faith that like, hey, like maybe this might work a little bit. And I mean, I still have those days where I question, you know what I mean? Like, am I going to make it? I had to call my sponsor yesterday because this week, I don't know what God's plan is yet. Like I said, I know there's something good to come, but this week's been a little rough for me. Tuesday, someone that I knew in active addiction showed up at a meeting. And so that stared me right in the face. And then the next day I found out that another person that I was like running with, who was like a very huge part of my active addiction, got released from jail. And now I'm like projecting that she's going to try and get a hold of me and this is going to take me back out. I'm like, this is so horrible. And then the next day I'm doing an intake on a new kid at the detention center that I work at. And he used to sell in the same area that I sold, and he got brought in by the same people that brought me in. And like he's talking about them. So then all of a sudden my mind's going back to these like, not romanticizing, but like flashbacks. And they're like showing up in my head because he's talking about the person. And it was like crazy. And so like yesterday I'm sitting here and I'm like calling my sponsor because I'm like scared. You know what I mean? Like I don't know what's going on. And it was like literally the simple words that said like, it's just your thoughts. Like, she said that to me, and it made me realize that, like, it was just my thoughts. So, like, in that moment, like, I got off the phone with her, and before I even drove any further, because I had to pull over, so I didn't hit a dead zone. Before I even drove any further, I, like, just said a quick little prayer to, like, my higher power, like, okay, I have faith that whatever's going on right now, there's something good to come. And I know that I can't control the thoughts that come into my head. But I know that you can help me with that. So please just take control and help these thoughts. And like literally, this was, yesterday afternoon. Like the rest of the day and like this morning, like I worked last night and it was like a completely new day. Like I saw that same kid because I was doing my med pass, and not one time did I like think about the person, romanticize about my addiction, like not one time. It was like lifted just for yesterday. Now I might have to do it again and again and again every day because I like to, you know, try to take control a lot. But I know that I'm able to do that. And this program has taught me that. Because if I wasn't this drug addict who had to come into NA, I would have never found the steps or the spirituality or the connection with the God of my understanding that I have. Like where I thought I was at 15 spiritually is nothing compared to where I am now. And like I had to have an A for that. So that's all I've got there. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. All right, and up next, we got Gary K. from the Saturday Morning Eye-Opener Group of NA in the Wee area.
I'm an addict. My name's Gary.
Gary.
This is the first time I've ever been to a retreat, and so I didn't have any idea what to expect. I know I was asked to speak a while back, and I said yeah, because I was taught not to ever say no to NA, but I had no idea what this was. You know, I was thinking, then when I came and they said amphitheater, my first thought was Star Lake, you know, because I have no idea of what, you know, because I've never been here. One of my good friends, he never asked me to come. But we go to conventions together. This isn't our thing, you know. He's got other guys he does this with. But I didn't think about what they asked me to share on until the last couple days, maybe more today, this morning when I woke up, than any time. So, like, I have a problem with my brain doesn't stop. It's always, you know, it never stops. And so throughout the ride up with a good friend, we've talked about things, and I try to relate things that we've talked about, which everything relates to this faith and step three, you know, turning it over. But like, so now all day so far, I've been thinking, I could talk about, like, I know something about that. Like, and I just, my mind all day. And now I probably won't talk about any of that stuff, you know, cause, now I'm up here and my mind's going in so many different directions. But when I think about step three, turning it over, I know all I think about is how much trouble I have doing that. It's always been a struggle to me. Like I too have a strong faith that I've had since I was, you know, since day one, and it's changed over the past 10, 15 years, but I don't relate it to Narcotics Anonymous as much as I do my regular life, because I know when we come in here, we just higher power, whatever your higher power is okay. But like, I do have a specific faith. I believe. I just have a problem turning it over. You know, I have a problem communicating with my higher power. When I do pray, things get easier. You know, like I've been in situations in the past 10 years where, you know, I have a daughter, and I still remember whenever she was born, and that feeling that I had, like, that I have never felt before, that type of love. And my first thoughts were, this isn't good, because now if anything happens to her, I'm not going to be able to deal with it. I still remember, like, that first couple weeks, I couldn't even sleep. I didn't even sleep at night, because I had to know if she was breathing or not. You know, I'd go back to the crib and my wife thought I was crazy. And that all has to do with faith. Like, you know, so that's my struggle. That has always been my struggle. And even to this day, like, with social media and all these things that come over on YouTube, I'll be watching things, And my first thought is, when I see something bad, is, my God, I hope my son doesn't go through that, or I hope my daughter doesn't. And there's just so many things. My life in general, like, I hope I can just pray that my kids don't have to go through some of the things I had to go through. And it's tough, because that's not working step three. When I do that, like, I have to be able to pray. I have to be able to turn it over. And obviously, I have to be able to have a step two to go with that, like, you know, which I do. I do, but it's the turning it over that I've always struggled with. Faith, I don't know. I don't know how much faith I have. I do have faith in Narcotics Anonymous, because I've been coming around for a long, long time. I think the first Narcotics Anonymous meeting I was in was in 1987. And so I've known about this fellowship for a long time, but I just finally was able to start working some type of a program back in 2003. Was when I first experienced recovery. I'll never forget that, you know, my first 90 days of living in a three-quarter house, because I was that guy that, I was coming around for probably 3 years, 2 to 3 years, and I never picked up the orange key tag, the 30-day key tag. I remember I was coming so close so many times, and my buddy would call me up when I'd be at like 28, when he thought I was at 28 or 29 days, and I was never there. I was never even there. But you know, back in 2003, I went to a three-quarter house, and I'll never forget those first 3 months, that first 90 days in that three-quarter house, because it was, to this day, it was the greatest 90 days of my life. I had fun staying clean for the first time in a lot of years, and I started realizing that I didn't have to live that life. I could live this one. But unfortunately, in a four-year period, I was just shy of 4 years clean when I relapsed. And I believe that relapse started long before it did, you know, because I see it so much in recovery today, like going to meetings today, like I had maybe a year clean. I was in the service. I had an H&I, I had a couple different H&I commitments. I was an active home group member, and then I moved. And I moved out to Washington, and which ended up, I stopped going to my home group. And not long after I stopped going to my home group, I stopped hanging out more with people that I had grown up with and used with and thought that I was okay. But, you know, long story short, I relapsed. And it took me so long to get back here that I can still remember thinking I'm not going back there because it didn't work. Narcotics Anonymous, it didn't work for me. And that was just my disease, you know, speaking to me. But it got so bad, thank God. I always hear people say, that, you know, thank God for the gift of desperation. I still remember that night that I called that same guy that helped me out prior to that. I remember thinking, what do I do? I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. And he, of course, he said the same thing he said back in 03, just go to a meeting. I think he might have told me which one to go to. It was a Tuesday noon meeting in Washington. So I stayed home from work that day, which I don't think I'd have made it to work that Tuesday anyway, because I was up all night. I still remember walking into that meeting broken, man. I was just in such bad shape because I walked in there and I still remember everybody that was in there. And there's still a good bit of the people that were in there. Paul and John, they're both still part of my life today. Like, I still see them regularly, but I still think it, I kept thinking it was a 6.5 year period, and I remember thinking to myself, like, what the hell just happened to me, you know? Like, because I had remembered staying clean. And so after that, I remember I left there. I picked up the white key tag. I left there. I prayed for the first time in God knows how long. I prayed and I thanked God. I remember thanking God that day. I said, you know, thank you for letting me come here, getting me here. And I also thanked him because my daughter had been born at that time. She was 5 years old when I got clean this time. And I just remember thinking, like, now I could possibly be a dad again. And I didn't lose anything that I had from 2003, and that was the biggest thing that I took from that. Like, because I come around, I see a lot of people struggle, like, in and out, you know. And I know that a lot of them have been clean for periods of time and have had recovery. And I see a lot of struggles, like where it's just so hard to get back into Narcotics Anonymous. And it wasn't like that for me. Like, I came back, I picked up the white tea tag, and I've been clean ever since. That was about 5.5 years ago. And I still have that first 30, that 90 days in that three-quarter house that I believe is my foundation for where I'm at today. And that's all because of the people I hang out with, the people that are here. I try to surround myself with all different types of people. Like, I have people that have been here for close to 30 years. The most important people, the ones that are just coming in. You know, I remember a couple years ago, I was blessed to be able to pick guys up at the Lighthouse and take them to my home group every morning you know, for close to a year, like maybe 8 to 9 months. And I still, and it's funny because like that meant a lot to me that I did that for me. But there's still a few of them guys from that period that are still here today. You know what I mean? They're still clean, and I run into them every so often. But, you know, I'll get back on the step there, you know, the step that I'm supposed to be talking about. But I just wanted to, you know, I always like to talk about my path, what I've been through. And so step three, turning it over. I know I mentioned that I do struggle with that in a lot of different areas of my life, definitely in my family life. You know, it seems like the person that I hurt the most in life today is my wife, my family. Like, I don't have a hard time getting along with people in the meetings, but I have a hard time getting along with my wife, you know. And there's so many things that stems from, and it's not her, it's all me. That if I would practice this step on a daily basis, it would help so much. Like, I just think of so many things. I get angry, I get defensive, I do this and I do that. And that's, you know, when me and my sponsor went over step three, we talked about that. Like, every little thing that I do through the day, if I bring God into it and think of His will and think about it before I react, it'll be so much better. And I don't know if it's a coincidence, but in the past couple of months, maybe not quite that long, I've been getting better at that. And I'm not sure why, because in the past year, my meeting attendance has gone way down because of certain things that have happened in my life. Like, I've gotten very, very busy, and I hate to make that, I hate to say that as an excuse, but I did. I got real busy about a year ago. And it's been absolute, my life has been insane for a year. I'm not going to church as much as I do, not going to nearly as many meetings as I used to. I'm praying a little bit more than I did. But like lately, in the last month, I've been doing better with, the issue I have is with the in-laws, you know what I mean? Like, I have a big problem with them, you know? Big, big problem. They're tough to handle. And actually my wife knows that though. Like, but I also have to remember that's her parents. And I do love them both, you know. But my God, do we just battle. And it was something had happened just yesterday. It was funny because I got home from work and I was taking my son to the ball game, and we have a business now, and I got a call and he called my wife. My wife said, there's water going everywhere up there. I was like, what? I go up there, and the urinal had stuck open, you know, and there was so much water in that. And I'm thinking, how did he not see it, you know? But I didn't react to that. I just went and got a shop vac, started sucking the water up. And the whole time I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it to the ball game because this is going to take a while. And then here come my father-in-law. And it was like he was in a mood. And I stayed cool. And I said to my, I could tell instantly. And I remember being down on my, I was down on my my knees vacuuming up the water. And I prayed. Like, I said, oh God, we're going to battle. You know, I could sense it because he's that type of guy. And I am too. And I'm always right, and he's always right. And that don't usually work whenever we're two different people. But he said something and got, you know, I had said something nice. You know, I was being cool. And then he made a comment, and it was, and I just had to just shut up, get back down on the ground and start sucking up the water with the shop back. And I was praying, you know, I remember thinking, just don't say nothing. Don't react. Because I'm thinking of so many different things I could say to this guy. You know, because he's wrong. I mean, he really was. I was right. Everybody's laughing. No, I'm serious. But, it worked. And that is weird. Like, it did just hit me up here that the last couple weeks I've been doing. My wife said it to me last night. Because it just so happened when I got home that she complained about everything that her dad must have just been in a bad place yesterday, you know. And she had a lot to complain about on what happened. And she noticed the tension that I had when I finally made it back down to the house to get ready to take my son to the ball game. She said, "What happened?" I said, "It's just nothing." And she knew something was wrong. And she knows that I've been trying, and she said stuff to me over the phone, like, "You're doing so good when it comes to my parents, you know?" And I said, "I don't know. He doesn't like me." That's all I said, you know? And she started talking about, he's being an asshole today. That's what she said. And I was like, "I know, but what did I do? You know, I was just trying to clean up a mess, and I didn't, you know." And she said, he's just that kind of way. So now I think about it. Thank God I didn't say anything, because the guy's a great guy. I mean, he does more for me and my family than anybody. And it's all good because I didn't overreact, you know, but because there's been times in the past that I just shot from the hip and just like, "Fuck you," you know, like, I mean, I've been there. And so I've been doing good, you know, and maybe I think about when I get asked to do things like this, like, what can I, because this is for me, you know what I mean? Like to be asked and to be able to come up here and deal with, because I hate speaking in front of people, but I can't tell and I can't say no. But I've walked away from these types of things feeling a lot better about, you know, where I'm at. I was blessed to speak at the convention this year, and for the life of me, I don't remember what the hell I talked about. But I just remember I liked the convention. I remember being up there. Thank God it was over. I remember thinking, "Thank God it was over, and I can now have a good time," because of my head. That, you know, it's always running. But I walk away from the podium, and I always think to myself, "I thank God where I'm at today. Could be a lot worse. I could be dead." You know, there's so many addicts that are just not making it here anymore. Things are a lot different out there today with what's going on than you know, 25 years ago. And there's so many people that aren't, they just don't have any idea about what goes on here. And I think me and Tim talked about that a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, we have our traditions that we follow and we all believe in, I'm sure. But, you know, like, I think more people need to know about Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I see so many people come in that are just, you know, you would think, most people would think, don't stand a chance, you know, and they get clean and they stay clean. And that's why we were talking this morning on the way up. I've seen in the past where people that are coming in and out sort of just get pushed to the side, you know, whether it's, you know, instead of us going and grabbing a hold of them, because I think, and I could be wrong, but I think some of us might think that they're not going to make it because they keep going in and out. But I was that guy. You know, I was the guy that, I mean, I couldn't get 30 days in a year coming to meetings. And I was going to meetings a lot. And I could not get 30 days. And like Kevin said, like, nobody ever turned their back on me. And maybe it was because I had close friends in the fellowship. I don't know. I think I'm blessed to have that. You know, maybe things would have been different if I'd have got here and didn't have somebody that I grew up with that was clean and still clean, you know? So maybe I'm blessed with that. But like, I believe not, you know, the minute you walk through that door in our Narcotics Anonymous meeting, you have a chance to get what we get, you know, get to stay clean one day at a time and lose that desire, work a program, and just have a better life. I'm seeing it with my friend now that, you know, it's just amazing what goes on in here. I don't even know how to express it. Like, I just wish more people could get it, you know, more people would stick around, because I think I just heard about somebody else, I think it was a couple days ago, somebody I know, and they didn't, you know, they're gone now, young, you know, they're gone. So they'll, and then I think about I start thinking about what they left behind, you know, parents, brothers, sisters, maybe kids. And I thank God. Like, I thank God that I'm here today. And the only way for me to stay here today is to do this. You know what I mean? Like, do what I'm taught. Pray. Home group, very important. I believe the home group members, the most important form of service that there is in NA is the active, I should put in there, active home group member. You know, it just, that is by far, in my opinion, the most important form of service, because we could all do it. Like Kevin said, he come back and he, you know, he just went right to the door with 20 years clean, just hugging people coming in the door. That's amazing. Make the coffee. You know, I don't make the coffee at my home group anymore for some reason. I still get there if I'm not working, but you know, it's amazing. You know, I don't know what else to say about it. I have no other service commitment right now. Like I used to go to a jail. I'm not doing that anymore. Crazy, I can't even get to meetings regularly because of my life though. So I don't even, you know, but I could still go to my home group on Saturday morning and just get there early, you know, like I like to show up to my home group at 6:30 in the morning. It's an 8 o'clock meeting. I like to be there early and you know, we have a good time. I mean, that's that, even if I got to go to work, I remember a couple different times I said, I could go to work later. I'll just get down there, spend about an hour with the guys with Flip and just then go to work. You know, I've done that. But I don't know. I really don't know what else to say. I have no idea how long I've been talking. Probably not long at all. But God tells me that that's about all I have to say. I want to thank the retreat for having me speak, and that's all I got.